You're listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. This week, we are going to take a look at some exemplary Lutheran schools. And, well, what does it mean to be exemplary? We're going to talk about that here in just a little bit. We'll talk with our friends in the LCMS School Ministry here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod International Center. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University Wisconsin, for supporting this program. You can find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin on our website. Go to kfuo.org and look for the sponsor section there. And look for the CUW logo in the sponsor section. Joining me in studio today, Dr. Rebecca Schmidt, Associate Director of Schools. Becky, welcome back to Faith and Family. It's good to have you in studio today.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Exemplary Lutheran schools. Five schools have been identified as exemplary Lutheran schools. We're going to talk about those throughout the week and looking forward to sharing their stories. Talk with them, too. Talk with the leaders of those schools, the administrators of those schools, and find out more about them and what makes them exemplary. But what defines exemplary schools? What makes a school exemplary?
Well, Andy, one of our critical targets in school ministry is that our schools are serving as schools of excellence, mm-hmm. and that children receive a Christ-centered education that prepares them for discipleship. And we look for schools who are doing that very well. Mm-hmm. And particularly, we look for practices that are leading to that effectiveness.
We have a lot of Lutheran schools across the country. Well, even around the world, we have international Lutheran schools as well that are doing that well, that are Christ-centered education, you know, that provide a Christ-centered education. But the thing about these schools that we're looking for, I've seen the term best practices show up before, and I know we'll talk about some of those best practices. Is that one of the things that sets these schools apart?
Absolutely. To qualify for a school, let's mm-hmm. talk about how we identify the schools.
Okay.
I think that's important. Yeah. When a school is accrediting, mm-hmm. This is the year that they complete a very thorough self-study, and they look at all aspects mm-hmm. of the operation of the school, delivery of services, and all of the components that make a highly effective school. And in that, to be considered for an exemplary school, based on their accreditation self-study, mm-hmm. they are required to exceed compliance with all NLSA standards that are a part of that self-study. And then from that point, they must also provide documentation and evidence that their school is Christ-centered mission and service-driven, that it's positively perceived in the community, that it can provide documented record of student academic success, and that it serves happy stakeholders, students, parents, mm-hmm. congregation, the community, that it's maintaining enrollment trends that are stable or increasing, and that they demonstrate innovative leadership through an implementation of a best practice. And from there, we look at that practice and we ask schools to share those, because if this practice can be replicated in another setting, mm-hmm. it's going to help other schools to be on that path of continuous improvement.
I'm glad you shared some of the verbiage from the process of identifying these exemplary schools, and this all comes up, as you pointed out, in the accreditation process, correct, through
That's
NLSA,
correct.
The National Lutheran Schools Association.
National Lutheran School Accreditation.
Thank you. I almost got that right. Almost. So NLSA is that accreditation that is very valuable for Lutheran schools to have, that says we're doing what we've set out to do. We are a Christ-centered ministry, a Christ-centered educational ministry, and we're doing what we set out to do. It's a very lengthy process, a lot of looking at and reviewing everything that we do, from our plan to what we're doing on a daily basis, and that includes a team folks from the school, but also those from outside the school looking objectively at what's going on. So it's a rather lengthy process. But in that process, identifying some of those things that are best practices. Now, I want to go back and look at some of those words that you used that came from the documentation for this process. When I asked Terry Schmidt, director of Lutheran Schools, you know, how to describe this week of what we're talking about, you know, exemplary schools. And I said, you know, share with me, finish the sentence, you know, we'll talk about exemplary Lutheran schools who ... And he responded with just what you quoted there. Lutheran schools who demonstrated compliance with NLSA accreditation criteria that exceeded expectations related to the educational and ministry standards required for accredited schools. In addition, each school demonstrated innovative leadership through the implementation of replicable best practices related to the academic quality or spiritual development of its students. Written by a wordsmith, I'm sure.
Could well be.
So, demonstrated compliance with NLSA accreditation criteria that exceeded expectations related to the educational and ministry standards required for accredited schools. So they go, this means they go above and beyond what the accreditation standards are.
Yes, that's correct.
So they're going above and beyond. But in addition to that, in addition to just going above and beyond the standards, each school demonstrated innovative leadership through the implementation of replicable best practices related to academic quality or spiritual development of a student. So they have implemented best practices that support quality, academic quality or spiritual development in its students. But they've done so in an innovative way. That's what sets them apart. When they've implemented these best practices, they do so innovatively. Now, what does that look like to take an innovative approach to implementing best practices that can be replicated somewhere else?
Well, I think the key, Andy, is that the practice that we highlight and uplift are those that other schools could complete. Mm-hmm. Some schools will have a best practice, but it's indicative of the area of which they serve, and it may not work in other settings. And so it's important for us to uplift and find those that other schools could look mm-hmm. at and say, well, if this could work for us, and if we adjust it to fit our needs, and so it becomes an education piece, a way to share great ideas and to help other schools attain those as well.
So these are best practices that could be used in multiple contexts, not just a rural school, not just a city school, not just a school that serves a specific community. These are best practices that the innovative approach to implementing these really allows you to use them in a variety of contexts.
Absolutely.
Well, I look forward to talking about these best practices. We're going to talk with a number of schools this week and learn more about these best practices, how they've gone about implementing them, what's innovative about them, and learning more about these schools. Let's talk about some of the schools. Well, let's talk about the five schools that we're going to talk with this week from all over the country, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have five schools that have been identified for mm-hmm. the coming year, and they are St. Michael Lutheran School in Fort Myers, Florida, mm-hmm. St. Peter Lutheran School in Arlington Heights, Illinois, Emmanuel Lutheran School, Wentzville, Missouri, St. Paul Lutheran School, Grafton, Wisconsin, and Divine Redeemer in Heartland, Wisconsin.
So all over the country of Florida, Illinois, Missouri, Wisconsin got two in there. Uh-oh. That's the state to beat, huh? Well, did you visit any of these in the process? I know that I think Terry had visited with some of those.
Yes, I was able to visit St. Michael in Fort Myers mm-hmm. and also St. Paul Lutheran in Grafton.
Wonderful. Well, when you visited St. Michael Lutheran School in Fort Myers, you had to go to Florida. That's too bad.
I know. And it was winter and it was cold and it was delightful.
Tell us about your visit there when you arrived at St. Michael and St. Michael Lutheran School in Fort Myers.
Well, I remember that visit so vividly, and being greeted by the principal, Bob Ziegler, mm-hmm. and his pastor, Pastor John Zender, mm-hmm. who both greeted us, and it very clearly from the beginning it was evident that there was a strong relationship and a shared ministry. And from there, the visit unfolded with well-kept grounds and great facilities, but at the heart of this is its ministry. One of the things that really stood out is that this community at St. Michael cares deeply about its children, its families, and the people it serves. And this is one of their best practices. They work with their teachers, and they work in conjunction with a local college. They serve as a student teaching facility.
Sure.
And they mentor young teachers. And from that... because we know that in some of our schools, getting synodically mm-hmm. trained teachers is very challenging. And St. Michael has said this is a value.
Sure.
And this is how we can work to do this. So by serving as this host for student teachers, the teachers grow in their community, become engaged, and often will come back, and then... St. Michael follows through and supports them in attaining colloquy mm-hmm. so that their culture is maintained even in an area that is
not a lot of Lutherans,
people.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's obvious when we're looking at some of these schools, several in the Midwest and then one in Florida. And I've had the privilege of serving a congregation in a school, a Lutheran school in Florida. And there aren't, it's not close to a Concordia University. So it's not like you have a bunch of student teachers coming from a Concordia University, a Lutheran teacher program right there in the community or even in the state. It's kind of a unique setting serving in Florida, that Florida has some great Lutheran schools. How do you draw in Lutheran teachers? Well, I would think since you're close to the beach, you would probably get a lot of Lutheran teachers. But there happen to be, I think, a lot of Lutherans in the Midwest, and not everybody thinks of opportunities to serve in Florida. So being a Lutheran school in Florida, you have to be creative about how do you raise up faithful Lutheran teachers in within your own community. When you want people from the community who are engaged and know the community already, how do you raise those up? Certainly, I know that they are able to recruit teachers from the Concordias as well. But what do you do with those faithful Christians in the community who are training to be teachers as well, who want to be a part of that community? They use the Concordia University the colloquy program, it's QNET, I believe it is.
Yes, that's correct.
The online program, and use that to train up teachers and help them study theology as a student going through a Lutheran teacher program at one of the Concordia universities would as well. That's a great way to help shape those teachers right there in their community. Yeah, great. So you visited there, learned about their connection with the local college and the community, and you said that the facilities were great. You mentioned the relationship between the pastor and the principal and the school. How important is that, that the pastor be an important part of school ministry and see it as one?
It is absolutely critical that there is a strong ministry team. Mm-hmm. And when that team is working together with that shared purpose of educating children and raising disciples, powerful things happen in a school.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a give and take. It's a relationship where the school is deeply engaged in its church and the church is deeply engaged in its school.
Mm-hmm. so that it really is one ministry together, especially when that pastor is visible and involved in the lives of the students, the teachers, the parents in the school and connected with them. So St. Michael's Lutheran School in Fort Myers, Florida, we're going to talk with them this week. We'll talk with, St. Paul Lutheran School, Church and School in Arlington Heights, Illinois. What do you know about St. Peter Lutheran Church, Lutheran School and Church in Arlington Heights? What do you know about that school?
Well, Andy, this is another school with a great ministry team and a very strong early childhood program, a school that's deeply engaged in its community. I loved the visit to St. Peter with that, right next door in Arlington Heights, they have a Lutheran Senior Services and an older generation generational ministry, and there's lots of interaction between the two buildings. Their involvement in their community is large, and that mission outreach is very much a strong component of the many things that they do. Also at St. Peter and throughout many of our other exemplary schools is a desire to serve all children. And many of these schools have developed a best practice that supports students with a variety of learning capabilities. Pathways, curriculum enhancements, SOAR programs, student services, special tutoring programs, and many ways that will continue to provide that diversity in education and so that their mission statements can be upheld, that they are there to serve all children.
You mentioned their community engagement, being connected with the senior community right next door to their campus, or you know, right there in their community in close proximity, and the students being able to interact with the residents in the senior living community there. How important is it that children have opportunities to interact with people of all ages? I know when we're in schools, quite often we're segregated by age. You know, we're placed in graded schools, first grade, second grade, third grade, you know, in age groups or grade levels. How important is it to our Christian education that children have an opportunity to interact with people of all ages?
Well, I know from within our own families that generational interaction is a wonderful experience. A child and their grandparent, or a child and an aunt and uncle, and that extended family really becomes an integral part of that child's upbringing. Today, many of our families do not have the luxury of living close to extended family, and recognizing the great gifts that senior members have to give, it continues to add and enhance that community. Many of our senior members work as tutors. They work in classrooms. They are deeply involved in the lives of children. And then in the instance of St. Peter's, where they have an area where they can visit, children bring life back to the lives of many. And it's hard to see who benefits more. It's just a win-win situation.
The engagement in the community is great for the community. It's great for the seniors at the senior living community there. It's also great for the school as people learn more about the school. Others in the community know, oh yeah, that's St. Peter Lutheran School. Their kids come over and visit with the seniors here. It gets the name out about the school too, so that people know there's a great Christian school, a Lutheran school right across the street, right here in our community, a great resource for us. By spreading that around, by the folks in that senior living community knowing about the St. Peter Lutheran School, they may share it with others and others in the community who may be coming new to the community and finding out about that school. What a great win-win situation. It's serving those seniors. The kids are learning from the seniors, and people in the community are learning more about that school as well and how that school could serve them. Yeah. All right. St. Peter Lutheran School in Arlington Heights. We're going to talk with them this week. Who else do we have Divine Redeemer in Heartland, Wisconsin. What do we know about our Divine Redeemer in Heartland, Wisconsin? What was identified as their best practice?
Their SOAR program.
What is the SOAR program?
Kind of a multi-grade level faith family group. Divine Redeemer has really taken a focus and looked at developing leadership within children and the students that are involved in their school. The SOAR program is one of those, and it is composed of 6th, 7th, and 8th grade students who are grouped in small groups. From this group that meets regularly, it meets once a month, faith-based study of topics is their focus. And so not only are they growing in faith and leadership, but they're also developing friendships across the grades. They also are looking at developing an authentic maturity for 21st century learners and being very intentional about developing and promoting that respect and care for others. From this, they are looking at the relationships between teachers and families and students. They are going above and beyond to ensure student success. That, again, is a part of that SOAR program, providing additional tutoring and differentiating instruction. And from this, it's definitely reflected in their student body and the culture of the school.
So it sounds like their best practice is developing leadership among their students, giving them a chance to interact with people, with students, not just their own age, but to giving them the opportunities to develop that leadership while they're in school. And that can be nurtured along the way. We'll look forward to talking with Divine Redeemer in Heartland, Wisconsin. We'll talk with Mike Oldenburg coming up later on this week on Divine Redeemer. Okay, we have two more schools to visit this week. Who else are we talking to?
Absolutely. We are talking to St. Paul Lutheran School. Michael Yerk serves as principal there. And their best practice is involved in implementing change theory in the pursuit of excellence. Now, this is something that every school would love to be involved with, and we hope they are. We know that change involves risk, and St. Paul has embraced that change by taking significant risks that have resulted in rewards for students and families. The parts and components of this change theory are developing a Center for Academic Resources and Enrichment, a CARE program, and this again is that common theme of looking at what students need and finding a way to make sure that they receive that. They also live the mission, clearly communicating and creating a positive school culture. It's reflected in their publications. It's posted on their walls. And probably one of their key pieces is that their community knows and understands that direction that the school is going and what's deeply valued. Also, strengthening families and intergenerational outreach and being very intentional about their marketing. Program with, and so schools that are tuning into that webinar will pick up some very specific things that they could also be doing in their schools.
So all of these schools that that we're talking to as exemplary Lutheran schools, they're also sharing what they're learning with other schools. They're offering that with other schools. You just mentioned a webinar.
Yes, each of the schools will prepare and present a webinar that we are able to broadcast. Schools can tune into those, or they can watch the archived version. And so this does two things. It outlines the best practice, but it also introduces the leader of the school, who can also serve as a resource and another connection and to expand networks as they get started. And it will be a great resource as they may have questions along the way as they begin to implement the things that will benefit their own schools.
So if school parents are listening right now, or maybe educators are listening and they want to get connected with that, I'm going to guess we can go to lcms.org/schools.
Yes, you can.
And find some information there. What's the easiest way? Is that the easiest way
easiest way.
lcms.org/schools. And you can find information about these exemplary Lutheran schools and the webinars.
Absolutely.
Very good. All right. So that was, let's see, what school? That was...
We have one more school to highlight, and that is Emmanuel Lutheran School in Wentzville, Missouri. And their best practice is a journey from a small rural school to a suburban school.
And yeah, so that community has been changing over time.
It has. This Wentzville was a small rural town for many years, and it has just exploded in population and development. And Emmanuel Lutheran School has grown and adjusted and adapted to the changing needs of its community. And from that, understanding change theory, understanding what the community needs, and being able to deliver it has been one of their great strengths.
How have they... So they went from, I would gather, probably a small rural school to now a booming school. That community is just growing. So I imagine that they're doing well. I'm looking forward to talking with them as well. They're, I believe, our first school up to talk to in this week of exemplary Lutheran schools. Anything else about Emmanuel in Wentzville that stands out?
Well, I think sometimes the myth that a rural school is not progressive. Emmanuel will be able to assure you that many of our schools are doing some incredible things, and they will also be talking about their journey to becoming a Google school and the technology that has been implemented and how it is used to help support the needs of all students. And so, large or small, city or urban, These practices that they talk about are what make it replicable.
I'm glad you mentioned that the becoming a Google school, and this is probably something we maybe need to bring Matt Bergold in to talk about one of these days. But what does that mean, essentially, for the layperson who's maybe not technically inclined technology driven? What does that mean for a school to become a Google school today? I mean, that I hear that a lot. I see that in some of the education forums I'm involved in as well. What does that mean when a school becomes a Google school?
Well, in the instance of Emmanuel, they began with the use of technology with only a few interactive whiteboards, and from that, they have looked at how does technology assist learning and improve the delivery. And so they've moved the school into implementing the use of practical technology at all grade levels. And from this, they've improved overall educational program for its students. So from iPads to Chromebooks to an interactive and online educational opportunities, they have used the best parts of technology to meet the individual grade levels.
So I like the practical technology for each grade level in order to aid to support the learning that's happening in the classroom.
Well, and more importantly, too, technology has so many different dimensions. So for a teacher who uses technology, who may be using an interactive whiteboard, it's not enough to just model it. It's important to get it into the hands of students. And so we're looking for schools that have really put technological pieces in where students are using and applying what they're seeing modeled in the classroom.
Well, I'm looking forward to talking to all these schools this week, learning about what makes them exemplary, and more in depth hearing from them about what they love about their schools and what they're going to share with other schools to help them repeat or replicate those best practices where they are as well. Becky, thank you so much for your time today and sharing with us, and for all the work that you and the rest of the staff are doing in LCMS School Ministry to help us support these faithful Christian education in Lutheran schools around the country, around the world. Thanks so much for being my guest today on Faith and Family.
Thank you, Andy. It's my pleasure.
Columbia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. We are talking about exemplary Lutheran schools this week. And today we're going to visit with Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School in Wentzville, Missouri. Joining us by phone today, Principal Allison Dolak from Emmanuel Lutheran School in Wentzville, Missouri. Good morning, Allison.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you today?
Great.
Thanks so much for being our guest on Faith and Family. It's great to have a chance to talk with you about Emmanuel Lutheran School. Also joining us by phone today, Pastor Todd Liefer, Associate Pastor at Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School in Wentzville, Missouri. Pastor Liefer, welcome.
Thank you. Welcome. It's good to be here.
Thanks. Great to have you as our guest today. Looking forward to learning more about Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School. Let's talk a little bit about the history of Emmanuel in Wentzville, the church and the school. I'm gathering that perhaps the church has a long history there. Pastor?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a church that goes back to the 1800s. And a school that has been here for a very, very long time as well.
So the school has been there for a while. Allison, tell us a little bit about the history of Emmanuel Lutheran School.
Sure. Well, it started out as a rural school, combined classrooms. And what I mean by that are, the grade levels were combined in each classroom. And that was really prevalent even into the 2000s, and the classes were pretty small. You might have, 10 kids per grade level in the early 2000s. And then we really saw a boom in the enrollment in the later 2000s, which was really exciting to see.
And so tell us a little bit about the community there of Wentzville. Pastor, can you share with us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Wentzville is this great area in the St. Louis region because there's so many people that are moving out to this area. Kind of like Allison shared, this used to be a very rural area and lots of farmland, lots of farming families. And since then, even in the past 20 years or so, there have been so many people moving out, and that farmland has transitioned into a booming area. Wentzville's right at the intersection of 70 and Highway 40, 64, and so there's just a lot going on here.
So it has been historically an agricultural rural area. So started off kind of small, but has it really grown into a large suburb of the St. Louis area.
Absolutely.
And so we're seeing that now in the church and school as well. As the community grows, so the church and the school grows as well. How do you, Allison, how do you as a school meet those needs of that growing community? What are some of the things that you've seen that have really had to change or ways that you've worked to serve the community?
Sure. What's great is that this is where my experience has been. I was in, my first call was out to a booming area in the Las Vegas area at a Lutheran junior senior high out there. So we had to make a lot of adaptations and changes very quickly and take a lot of what I call calculated risks to meet the needs of that growing population. Just a little background on that. I wondered why God had called me out to that area. I'm from this area originally, and I didn't exactly know what God wanted me to do out in Las Vegas. Coming back to the area and being at Emmanuel Wentzville, it's very clear to me. He was getting me ready for the same thing at my own school that God's given me to lead. So it's very, very exciting. I talked about risks a little bit. Maybe I'm a little bit foolish, but I think that anything to help serve the students and the families of the community and the church and school, you should do. Our general principle here is just do what's right and lead with God's word. So that's what we do here, and God has richly blessed us because of those efforts that he's led us through.
What makes Emmanuel Lutheran School unique? What is it that, you know, as we are talking about exemplary Lutheran schools and the best practices, the replicable best practices that can be, you know, taken from one school to another, what's unique about the best practices, or what's innovative about your implementation of best practices there at Emmanuel?
Sure. Well, I always say we've kind of gone from country mouse to city mouse. So we really reformatted things in the late 2000s, from 2000 to 2010, really to individualize student learning and making everyone feel welcome at our school. We're over 80% non-Lutheran at our school, and I think that is pretty rare, considering all the Lutheran schools across the United States. So we had to figure out something different, because we didn't have that alumni base of a huge Lutheran school to draw from, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an alum from Zion Harvester and Lutheran High School, St. Charles. So, you know, had I not been where I am, those are easy choices to know where to send my children. There's a large alumni base. So we really had to focus on outreach to the community. We were having some financial issues in the 2007 year, and so we had to be very creative. And just kind of redo everything. Things we started with were things as simple as updating the curriculum, really getting intensive with that and making sure that we're teaching the students exactly what needs to be taught and doing it in the best way. Having those technology aids in each classroom. I'm a big proponent of technology in the classroom and in schools, but I think there's a healthy mix. I don't want to be too dependent on those Chromebooks or on those smart boards or whatever you're using in your classroom, because I think there's several ways to learn, and it's not just technology-based. I think having children have the opportunity to have really exciting, meaningful worship in a school setting is very important. I think that our pastors and our teachers and our classrooms do an amazing job with their chapel services every week. There's a lot of thought and heart that goes into that. We have quite a few baptisms at our chapel. We have a lot of parents that stay and look forward to our Wednesday morning chapels, and they're hearing the word that way, and that's very exciting.
That is to hear those stories of families who are connected to the congregation through the ministry of the school. Pastor, let's talk about your involvement with Christian education at Emmanuel Lutheran School. What's your involvement at the school?
Sure. I teach confirmation class for Emmanuel Lutheran Church in the school. So I teach the confirmation class during the school day for the students who attend Emmanuel Lutheran School. But kind of like Allison said, I also help, you know, oversee chapel services and just a pastoral presence in the school. It's so great to have a place and teachers who the kids might have a question in class, and then they'll call me, and if I'm available, I'll pop up there quick and see if I can answer those questions about the Bible or whatever they might have. And really beyond that, really just ministering to families in any way that I can. If there's, you know, a family emergency that comes up, or a child that just needs someone to listen to them, I try to do whatever I can so that every family, whether they're a member or not, you know, is feeling as if they're connected to the church in that way.
What are some of the fun questions that that you've received as from students?
Oh, the last one, they're in Genesis right now, and someone was asking about, you know, where did all the people come from after, you know, Cain and Abel, you know, Cain's, you know, dreading going out into the world because of all the people out there, and where all these people come from, and it's a good question. One teacher actually texts me questions from the classroom, and I'll text back my replies. It's super fun.
And I love telling the teacher, go ask Pastor Leifer.
They're good at that, yeah.
But I think that's a good example of making use of the resources, the gifts that God has given to us. If God has given us a pastor to lead us, to teach us, who has spent so much time studying and preparing for this office, for this vocation, what a great way to utilize those gifts, that gift of a pastor, as a school, to when a teacher or a parent doesn't know the answer, call on the pastor to lead us, to help us find that answer in God's Word.
Thank you. And that's something that we try to work so hard on here, is to make the whole staff, and including the pastors, very approachable. You know, people knowing that they can come anytime, ask any question, and that they're so welcome to do that. I think that goes a long way.
Allison, what does a typical day look like at Emmanuel Lutheran School?
The typical day starts with myself and a couple other teachers and administrators in the parking lot during drop-off, where we greet and talk to the kids on the way in. I think that's very important that those relationships are established beyond the principal's office or beyond the classroom. Mm-hmm. That's a very important part of a successful climate, if you will. Then we start every morning with announcements first thing, and we say our pledge to the American flag, the Christian flag, and then we end announcements with a school-wide prayer that's typically led by either myself or some of our students. And that's just how we start every day, and that's just a fresh start and a great way to start the day. And it's a luxury that we have in a parochial school nowadays, that we can start it off that way. Each classroom has Jesus time or religion class every single day. And then on Wednesdays, like I said, we have our school-wide chapel service. So it's really exciting to have those 460 kids and parents and teachers all in one area praising God. Then we have, you know, all of our core subjects where we have, you know, specialty teachers such as art and Spanish and physical education and music. But then we have our normal core classes as well. Then each day we end, at the end of the day, all of the teachers are with their classes, and we dismiss all together as well.
So it's quite a full day, but a day filled with starting with good relationship building and on a note of prayer and encouragement. Yes. As well.
Yes. Yes. I in a growing community with you know, all walks of faith that you speak with, there's a lot of interest out here for private education. That is not something that I'm necessarily about, but if it gets them into a Christian environment, I explain it like this. We are an excellent school that will teach above and beyond what your child needs to know for their life and future education. The best thing that we offer you is that we also teach the Word of God. And that is just a gift that those kids not only have in their hearts, but they're bringing that home and they're bringing that to their community. Mm-hmm. They're begging their parents to come to church and come to chapel with them, and you really can't emphasize that enough.
Hmm. Let's talk about some of those children, some of those parents, those mm-hmm. families, some examples that really identify or exemplify the ministry of Emmanuel Lutheran School.
We have all walks of faith. We have obviously we're LCMS Lutheran here, and we have people that come here because we're a Lutheran school.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing more and more that people are coming to our school because of the reputation for a good education mm-hmm. and a good environment, and that the teachers care about their individual child's need.
Mm-hmm.
I see a lot of, I know that I should go to church. I'm really hoping that this is a gateway for our family to start attending church more, and it's exciting to see, and it's really exciting to see the Holy Spirit work, especially through those small children.
Pastor, any stories of maybe a specific student or a parent or maybe a teacher and a faculty member who really exemplifies what this ministry of Christian education is all about at Emmanuel?
Oh, wow, that's a good question. I'm just reminded of a story from just 2 weeks ago that a teacher shared with me that they were in their classroom, and there is a student in their class that it comes from a non-Christian family that believes a different faith. And this child in class came to the teacher after class and had all these questions about Jesus and about, you know, their parents and who worship different gods. And the teacher's response just was so great, and is just willing to work with that child to answer those questions and to really point that child to Jesus. I think it speaks so highly of the school that the parents, you know, wanted this place for their child to go, and they knew they were getting a Christian education. we're very, you know, upfront about that. But a teacher that's willing to, you know, talk to these kind of kids and be able to talk openly about their faith with them is just so great. So this teacher just was able to share Jesus and be able to share, you know, the gospel message with that child. And what an awesome thing that is. That's just one of many stories that come to mind, but wow, just it's really neat.
Allison, any stories from the classroom or outside the classroom of students or families?
I won't share these with you, but we have a joke at the front desk that the kids say such funny things. My assistant, Cece Leifer, writes them all down, and we share those at our end-of-the-year faculty meeting. And so that's always good for a good laugh. You know, the kids just amaze us every day with their questions.
Mm-hmm.
I am the first one to admit I really didn't get that completely until I had my own kids and I hear their own questions come out of their mouths. So, you know, the kids, you know, just do a great job here. I'm proud of each and every one of them, and, you know, keep the questions coming and keep that dialogue with your teachers and, me coming. They know my little quirks too, and I love that. You know, flu season's coming up, and they know I'm a little bit of a germaphobe. So,
a little bit?
Yeah, just a little bit. And, you know, I'll have little kids standing when I'm walking out for dismissal with a new little container of hand sanitizer that they thought of me, and they thought I'd think it would smell good, and they're giving me things like that. So they're very, very sweet, and they're very, very attentive, and Not a lot passes by them. So, you know, the smaller the kid, the bigger the ears. That's what I think.
Well, let's talk about the faculty and the gifts and talents that they bring, the teachers, the staff that make up Emmanuel Lutheran School, and the gifts and talents that they bring. You serve, what are the grades that you serve at Emmanuel?
We serve preschool twos through eighth grade.
Wow, preschool twos through eighth grade. So yes. Tell us about the faculty or the staff that make up Emmanuel Lutheran School and what they bring to the table. That's a broad spectrum of students, so young from yes. twos on up to eighth grade.
Yes. I can tell you that I am very, very blessed with my faculty and staff. With a growing school and there never being a constant enrollment, they do whatever they need to do to adapt, to change, to modify. They go with it, and they are amazing leaders in the classroom. We can have a faculty meeting or a discussion about something that's going to change, and they just take it and run with it. Mm-hmm. And they do it better than what I could ever do. So I am truly, truly blessed by that. They're just amazing. They have excellent relationships with the students, with each other, and with the families as well.
Pastor, do you get to, in addition to teaching in the classroom, do you get any time in the lunchroom or in the playground?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Love playing kickball out in the parking lot. That's the best. That's the best.
Dunk tanks.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah. And this past Sunday, we had a dunk tank at our church picnic, and a lot of school kids were lined up to dunk me and Allison as well.
It was just a baptismal remembrance, right?
Right. Yeah, that's right.
They just wanted to help you remember your baptism.
That's right. Over and over again.
Over and over.
That's so generous of them.
Yes.
Well, it's great to hear that it sounds like you have a real sense of community, of family, fellowship in your congregation, your school. Pastor, how does the congregation view the school, the work, the ministry of Emmanuel Lutheran School? What is the understanding of the ministry of the school from the congregation's perspective?
Right, yeah. The church is so supportive of the school's ministry. We always say that the school currently, is our largest ministry, with hundreds of kids walking through our halls every day of the week. The school is so supported by the church. We're just always excited that the school is doing fantastic things, and we try to have events that, you know, the school families can come to, and vice versa. The members just love that there are so many kids learning about Jesus every day. They're so supportive in any way possible.
Well, that's all. Go ahead.
So something else that is just kind of unique about Emmanuel, when we built our new building, we moved sites in 2009, the decision, what we ended up with was a building that has a sanctuary on the first level, and then the second story kind of circling around it is the school. And so it's all one building. And so what a neat thing that is here in this place, because the school is centered around the sanctuary, around worship, and it's a common gathering space. And I think this just speaks to what kind of community this is. It's a church and school. It's not a divided ministry. It's one entity, and it works so well when we all work together like that.
That's outstanding, and that is, I think, what certainly has to do with the joy and the success that how Emmanuel Lutheran School works and how it is able to serve the community so well is because you view this, the congregation and school, as one ministry. It's your way of serving the community and connecting with families in the community. Thanks be to God for that. With just a couple seconds left, any special events, Allison, coming up in the near future?
Well, we have our parent back to school night this Thursday from 6 to 8. And then we have a golf outing on October 3rd. And then our PTL community trunk or treat is on the 23rd of October. And that is just a fun event for school, church, and community families to attend.
Well, thank you both for being my guest today. Principal Allison Dolak, Emmanuel Lutheran School, Wentzville, thanks so much for being my guest today.
Thank you for having me.
And Pastor Todd Leifer, Associate Pastor, Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School in Wentzville, Missouri. Thanks for being my guest today.
Absolutely. Great to be here.
Coming up next, Thy Strong Word. You're listening to Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.